Hello and welcome to this Final Boss Fight audio podcast of Masks of Nyarlathotep, where a group of intrepid investigators face ancient horrors and global conspiracies as dark schemes herald the end of the world. My name is Jeff and I am the keeper of arcane lore for this campaign. So, without any further delay, let us begin. Hello, good evening and welcome to Final Boss Fight. My name is Jeff and we are returning tonight to Call of Cthulhu Masks of Nyarlathotep. I just love saying the name, Nyarlathotep. It's great to say. I'll be the keeper of arcane lore for this evening, and we've got a slightly reduced crowd of investigators tonight. I am joined by Patrick.
Thank you.
The quest giver, Ben.
Greetings. It's good to see you all.
Brian Croy Dragon.
Hello.
And Kieran.
Hi.
Robin is away from us this week, but she has left me some instructions on what to do with Flint, and I believe the list was don't get him killed, so we'll see how that goes.
That is a bold, bold request.
I may just made that up for dramatic effect.
Right, so the idea right away is that we put Flint right in the front, right?
Naturally.
Oh, thank you so much, Flint, for volunteering to be our meat shield. That's so heroic of you. Say nothing if you agree to this wholeheartedly.
I saw him nod.
That's it. Oh, boy. I'll give the recap this evening. This is excerpt from The Hungry Dead by Jackson Elias. Myths, legends, traditions, customs, rituals, ceremonies, even superstitions, all form the bedrock of our culture, and indeed every culture in the world. But behind all of these lies a grain of truth, a seed which grows and blossoms as they are passed from generation to generation until they take on a life of their own. Finding that seed and seeing how it grew? Now that's where I come in. I've spent my life finding the truth behind stories from all over the world, from the rainforests of the Amazon, forests of England and the jungles of Africa. This trip to Peru was supposed to be just another research expedition for this very book you are reading, and yet I have seen things that even I cannot explain or even begin to understand. It began in that bar in Lima, where I met Augustus Larkin and my fellow expedition members, Gideon Faust, Dr. Reinhard Bauer, Flint Lark, Tim Sullivan and Denver Smith. At first I thought they were a bunch of cowboys and flunkies, but as I've journeyed with them, along the Sita Puno and across the highlands, I found them to be the most capable of companions and, dare I say it, good friends. I wonder what Scott, Madame Pole back in England would say to that. Our journey was not uneventful. The morning after the attack from one of these Karasiri, or fat suckers as Denver Smith took to calling them, we came across a farmer and his son, who had also had a run-in with the creatures. The son was badly injured, but his father, Julio Cespedes, managed to drive them off. We convinced him of our peaceful intentions and, after Dr. Bauer gave medical aid to the son, Julio invited us back to his farm to spend the night. The following day we reached our goal, the Forgotten Pyramid, Larkin had told us about. Two of these Karasiri were already there, and were crouched on top of the pyramid, seemingly feeding something inside it. Once they had gone, we climbed down to the ruins, leaving Gideon and Dr. Bauer as lookouts. Bravely, or foolishly, Denver and Flint climbed up to the top of the pyramid to try to see what those other two Karasiri had been doing. Denver was shaken by what he saw, and was never quite able to adequately explain it. Nevertheless, we summoned Gideon to join us and left Dr. Bauer as lookout, as his constitution was not the best that morning. We climbed through a pit of decaying bodies and reached the tunnels under the ruins. Flint and Denver led the way as we explored, first discovering the nest of the Karasiri, and later a bundle of rags that proved to be not as dead as we'd hoped. We saw that the inner wall of the tunnels had a gold band running along it, the same gold as the section of the ward we had brought with us. We eventually found a break where the ward needed to go, although it was right in the middle of a festering pool of what seemed to be fat, and I shuddered to think what else. At that point we heard a familiar voice calling our name and, well, this all started with Augustus Larkin. I guess it's only fitting that it ends with Augustus Larkin. And with that, I shall move us to the map. So, for convenience sake, I've moved everybody up to this top corner here. Roughly gives the rough layout. Augustus Larkin is flanked by Louis Mendoza and a few Karasiri. And as I said last time, you look at Augustus Larkin and he's different from what you remember. he is, carries himself more confidently. His skin is pale and his eyes are just like two black pools leading into infinity. And he looks at him and says, "Gentlemen, gentlemen, I thought we were friends. You left Lima so quickly. I must say, Mr. Smith, Mr. Elias, and all the, and everybody else, I expected better of you."
Well,
we didn't like the company you keep.
Aye. Something wasn't quite smelling right.
I hope you're not trying to give offense, Mr. Smith.
Oh, no, no. I'm just trying to trim some of the fat when it comes down to the conversation.
I see what you did there. But so, forgive me, where are my manners? We're missing someone from this reunion, aren't we? And he steps aside and you see, held between the two carousel behind him, Dr. Reinhard Bauer. Do not worry, he is unconscious, but he is unharmed. Dr. Bauer, you start to regain consciousness and you feel yourself being held by these two creatures either side of you.
Don't like that. Is that a sanity roll?
I'm going to ask for a sanity roll from everybody, actually, please.
Sorry.
Let's roll the night.
Right.
You're kidding.
Excellent start.
I apologize. Keep in mind I'm going for some hypochondria at the moment.
Goody, you're going to hold yourself together. 10, you two!
Alright, so, those of you who pass a sanity roll, no points of loss. Those of you who failed, that's Gideon and Tim Sullivan, 1d6, roll a d6 and take it off your sanity, please. So, one sanity loss for Gideon, one sanity loss, that's good. And for Tim, 4 for Tim. Not good, but could have been worse. Well, gentlemen, Larkin says, what shall we do?
Well, you too.
Well, I do have an offer for you. My offer to become rich and to increase the historical knowledge still stands. Look around you. And he indicates the band that runs around the wall. Look at this. This is pure gold. It would be worth a fortune. And the carvings on it would be make your names in the academic world. Surely this is what you came for.
Hey, stop the act, all right. Just tell us what you actually want us for. It's obviously not trying to find this place. Or are you just trying to get us to take the gold off so that you can do whatever you need to?
Like I said, I'm merely here to offer you what was promised.
Can I? Is there a role to see if I actually believe him?
Psychology, that's correct.
I would also quite like to roll that, considering the last thing I remember is being smacked upside the head.
Okay. Psychology.
Ooh, no.
Aye. Nah. I'm just hand shaking with a little pistol, just being very scared.
No.
You just cannot get a read on him. You were probably able to read him earlier on, but whatever's happened to him, you just cannot tell from his face. What are you going to do? I've just heard Gideon say he's got his gun out. What are people going to do? Flint, by the way, has his Loretta out, pointing.
I want to grab hold of that gold bar that we have currently. See, look, we are currently in a bypass. Unable to go one way or t'other. I know that your compatriots can't touch this, and I'm guessing they've done something to you that means that you can't either. So why don't you tell us what is actually going on? Give us as much detail as possible. And it'll depend on what I do with this.
Oh, Mr. Smith, if you could only understand what is really going on here. And he turns to the other two and says, I've no use for them. You can kill them. And Mendoza and the other Karasiri next to him move towards you.
Ah, take that.
We're going to go to initiative then, and do I take it everybody who has guns has their guns out?
Yeah.
I'm going to be having the gun in one hand and the gold bar in the other.
Okay, why is this suddenly deciding not to give me initiatives? I had this all sorted out last night. Okay, so...
Where is the initiative again?
That's better. Don't need to roll anything for it.
Oh.
So, Denver Smith has gun out. I heard Gideon Faust say gun out.
A very shaky gun.
It's still a gun. Tim, are you gun out or are you not gun out?
Yes, I'm gun out. I'm trying to find initiative.
You don't need to, I've already taken care of it.
Okay.
Jackson Lies is definitely gun out. Dr. Bauer, you're currently being held by two Karasiri.
I also don't think I own a gun. So
you also don't think you own a gun.
That keeps things simple.
So, however, none of you are going first. It's Larkin who goes first. And he looks directly at you, Denver Smith. Directly into your eyes. Can you make me a power roll?
Power roll, yes. Success.
He got an extreme success.
Jeez.
So, let's see. You feel something like fingers reaching into your mind and tearing it apart, and just for a moment, you glimpse the full truth of the universe. Can you please take 5 sanity points of your sanity, please? Can you please take 5 sanity damage?
Aye.
And once you've done that, under normal circumstances, this could trigger an intelligence roll to see if you stay sane. This, however, doesn't do that. Denver, I give you the choice. Would you like to roll a d10 yourself, or would you like me to choose something for you?
I'll roll a d10.
Okay. Roll a d10.
I'll take a roll on a dice. 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. Denver Smith, a red mist descends, filling you with insane anger. You explode in a spree of uncontrolled violence and destruction directed at your surroundings, allies, and foes alike. So each round you're going to roll to see who you're attacking.
Oh boy. Okay.
Can you roll me a d10?
Aye. 2.
So only for 2 rounds, okay.
That's bloody lucky. It's not bad, but what is a d10?
Next up is, that's Larkin's turn. Next up is Flint, and he is going to fire Loretta straight at Mendoza. So just wait for his character sheet to come up. Combat. So firing Loretta at Mendoza. Oh no! It goes wide. He takes aim, but it just goes completely wide. He misses. A 99 on a 90. Wow. Obviously shaken by what's happening. Denver, it's your turn. Before you start your turn, can you roll me a d6, please?
Aye. 2.
You attack the wall.
Wall.
The wall of the pyramid. You just start blasting away at the wall.
Do I cause any damage to it? Do I make any for the sake of it being the wall with the gold band, then we know what the gold band does stuff.
I'll say that it's the other wall. I say it's not the wall with the gold band. It's the outer wall. Fine. You just like start shooting it, and chunks of stone fall off.
I was going to say, when it comes down to it, he either causes a lot of trouble for us, or potentially gives another weapon for us to use. But all the same, attack a wall. That's fine. So attacking the mud wall to the side is then.
Jackson is also going to shoot directly at Larkin. Try and shoot at Larkin. So where's
for
Jackson?
A second there, I thought you said he was also going to start attacking the wall. So, I don't know Jackson. What you're doing, but I'm hoping it does the trick. Come on!
Jackson's going to shoot at Larkin. He also misses. Ooh. Wow, Dyson not happy tonight.
Maybe Dyson will take longer than I thought.
Gideon, it is your turn.
Going one hand and camera in the other, genuinely considering which might be more helpful. I'm gonna try to shoot.
Okay, who are you shooting at?
Narratively, it's going to be at Mr. Mendoza, but actually, out of character, I'm going to be aiming at the one behind him, because if I hit him, that would make it more funny.
Okay.
Do I roll the skill, or do I roll the thing in the combat tab?
Roll the thing in the combat, because that'll give you the damage as well. Oh, what is going on tonight?
We are not going too well here.
Oh, boy. Tim, what are you going to do?
Shield. Are they all enemies?
Everybody in front of you is an enemy apart from Dr. Bauer. Dr. Bauer is not an enemy.
Which one is Dr. Bauer? The one in the back?
The one in the back, yeah.
The one who looks alright.
Okay, so I'll shoot the one in front of him then.
Okay, Larkin, you're going to try for Larkin, okay?
Yep. I keep clicking and it won't
on the combat tab?
No, I keep clicking on my... on Tim Sullivan, but it won't open.
Oh, really?
You might have it minimized, in which case it's trying to open something which is minimized.
How do I unminimize it?
You gotta find the little window where it's minimized.
I don't see it.
Okay. Do you want me to roll it for you then, because I've got it open here?
Sure. I'm just going to refresh on so we see if that...
You hit. Regular success. Three damage against Larkin. And he's like staggers back a bit, and he looks at you now. He's unhappy with you particularly.
Say hello to Aquino Barbus. Okay, there we go. Now it's opening.
Okay. Oh, come on, keyboard. -3. Next up is Louis Mendoza, and he's gonna come forward. And Denver, he's gonna try and grapple you.
Right.
So I need you to make me a fighting brawl roll, please, to see if he grabs you, or see if he gets out of it.
Does the madness do anything here?
It kind of counts because you're in a violent rage, so you're just going to try and fight him off.
Alright, that's fine then. Hard success.
Hard success, nice. Just bring his up.
Ignore that. And just click. Just reminding everyone how smart I am.
He failed, so he tries to grab at you, but you just manage to get out of the way. You're just like so angry, you just get out of the way of him. Next up, it is the Karasiri next to him. He's going to come forward and he's going to try and go after Flint. So I need to roll for Flint and roll for him. Okay. So first of all, be a brawl. Fighting brawl check. So Flint got a success and this guy gets... Hard success. Flint is grappled by this creature. Dr. Bauer, it is your turn. What would you like to do?
I'd like to try and get out of this, the sort of grapple that I'm under.
So that's... I would say that's a maneuver. And
okay.
I think you might be at a penalty here because they're probably bigger than you. Yes, they
two
are.
Of them. And yeah, my size is only 40. I'm not a big man.
Yep.
So what am I rolling? Is that
that'll be a fighting that'll be a brawl, a fighting brawl with a penalty die.
No. Fighting brawl with a penalty die. This is gonna go well. Ah!
Wow!
You get away somehow. Oh no.
Oh no.
Press bonus penalty underneath it.
That's
a master. Oh no! That's 77.
That's a 77.
Yeah, you struggle, but
it's going so well.
So close. Karasiri.
Maybe I managed to slip out of the grasp of one of them, but the other one, like, manages to grab me back, and so they manage to keep a hold of me.
I would say these two, Karasiri holding you, just like try and like struggle to keep you still. And we're back at the top with Larkin's turn again. And Larkin, he looks at you, Tim Sullivan. He is not happy that you shot him. Now, if this was anybody else, I would ask for a power roll, but Larkin is a little bit different. Tim, can you take... Ooh. And you just take this.
Take what?
5 hit points worth of damage.
5?
5.
I can take 5. I'm down to 6 now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, yep. That's good, okay. So, back to Flint, and I think Flint is now going to changes targets, having seen Larkin, and you see like green fire flame come out of Larkin's hand and strike Tim in the chest. You feel this awful pain in your chest, Tim. Almost doubles you over. Flint is going to instead shift his aim to Larkin instead. So second shot at Larkin. There we go, that's more like it.
Nice.
And he just like blows, and Larkin just like goes down full of, with a huge hole right through him, and he just like goes down to the floor. And he just like lies there on the floor, dead. He just like has enough time to look at you and says, "This isn't over. I'll see you again." And then he falls to the floor dead. Denver, what are you doing?
Well, I'm still mad, aren't I? This is my last round of being mad, so...
Yep, so roll me a d6.
Right, yeah. 5.
You attack the ally closest to you.
Which one would you be classifying that as, then?
Probably Gideon, actually.
Alright. For the sake of my deranged mind, I'm now effectively thinking that they're, or this is the way I'm seeing it, that they're all turned into those fat sucking things.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the. I'm basically going to try and use that gold bar like a bat and smack it into it.
Okay, roll me the fighting brawl. Well, that'll be the fighting brawl check.
That's a success.
Gideon, you see this coming. Would you like to dodge or would you like to fight back?
I'm going to dodge, thank you.
Go on then, roll the dodge.
Oh, you see the foam coming out of my mouth as I come at you. It's in combat, second across.
Oh, so it is. It is also
just
in your skills.
Hard success. Good. Oh, shit. Well done. Well done. Goes into Tim instead.
I think you can tick. You can tick that.
I don't know how it is.
You can tick that off as well.
Awesome.
Nicely done. Well done.
Denver, as you like try and swing at Gideon and miss, you feel the rage leave you. And you fall to the floor, exhausted. I need you to make me a constitution roll, but I need a hard success.
Oh boy. Alright. Come on, baby.
Yes! Success. Hell yes!
You are still conscious.
Takes more than that to keep Denver down.
Jackson Elias is going to shoot again at the same Karasu that came towards him that tried to attack Flint. And he's going to say, repair the ward. Quick, repair the ward. That's what we're here for. Put that thing back in the wall. As he shoots. As he shoots at the Karasu.
Where did I just get huge monsters like vibes there.
10 damage against the Karasiri. Karasiri like staggers back, having this gunshot. Almost falls to the floor actually. I need to make a constitution roll for him because that was a major wound on him.
Headshot.
Pretty much. He just about stays on his feet. But that really did some damage.
19 constitution.
Gideon.
Okay. Smith. Oh no. Smith has to fix the wall. Okay. I guess I'm gonna jump up and try to tackle Mendoza. Just. This is all too insane, and I'm terrible with guns, so just with a scream of aggression more high-pitched than anyone would like, just charge him.
I could just imagine him lying on the floor, head comes back to see you lunge over me into it. He's like, no, what are you doing?
This is just like high school, it's just rugby, it's fine.
Okay, so what are you doing?
What do I roll to? I'm trying to rugby tackle, and does it.
I'm going to say it's a frightening brawl check, actually. Because you're just, like, trying to go for him.
Oh.
Oh, no.
I just give him a warm hug.
Oh, no.
You try and rugby tackle him, but it's like running into a brick wall. You can take 4 damage from that.
Oh.
This character feels targeted, Patrick.
Hey, listen. If anyone in this entire campaign spoke English, I would have been much more helpful.
Tim, it is your turn.
Okay. I'll shoot the cavalry over. Nearest to player note.
Oh, this guy up here, yeah, he's already been shot, so.
Yeah, it's a wounded one.
So oh. That's a good idea, yep.
Okay then.
Wow, that's been rolled. I have a number 4 next to major wounds on my character sheet. Does that mean I take a major wound at 4 damage?
No, you'd have to get over 4. Have to get over 4 damage for that to take the major wounds.
Okay, so being dropped in. Okay.
Tim, do you want to spend luck on that, or do you want to leave? Do you have enough luck to spend on that?
I have 28 luck.
Do you want to use it? It's the last chapter of this, of the prologue. Yeah.
I totally should have used luck!
Yes, yes.
He got a hard success anyway, it would have been bad hitting.
Yes, how much luck would that be?
21.
Wait, that'll bring me down to 7, but it's the last chapter, so okay.
That's okay, so, this Karasiri up here falls down to the ground, but you know from experience, he won't be down for long. Louis Mendoza is going to try and grab for Gideon. Gideon, I need you to make me another fighting brawl check.
I believe in you, King.
You can do this. Not like that.
Oh, no, that was Mendoza.
That's
oh,
my
no,
side. That's Mendoza.
I'm
gonna
use
it's like the playground, like, you know, slap fights, you just like flail ineffectually at each other.
I'm gonna use 7 luck to make that a success.
Okay. So yeah,
in that case, do you
do 1 damage against Mendoza.
Yeah, oh, to punch him in the face.
Okay, you just managed to, in your slap fight, you just managed to, like, you know, slap him across the face for 1 point of damage.
I hit him with a gun. Just smack.
The Karasiri that Tim shot down starts to stir, and you see it's getting ready to get back up on its feet again.
Oh.
But he's just getting himself back together. Dr. Bauer, you notice that the two Karasiri
he's
next to you.
There's no way of getting out of this without rolling brawl. Like, I can't psychoanalysis my way out of this, you know?
Not really.
Ask them about their father.
I don't think they speak. I don't think they speak English or German.
Damn it.
But what I will say. Well, we'll say they seem to be distracted by what's going on. So if you wish to, you can if you make your fighting brawl roll, but have a bonus die with it.
Oh, very kind. Very kind. Let's have a go at that then. One bonus die. That's a 1!
That's an extreme.
That's like a crit, right?
That's a critical. Yeah, you just managed to, like, you know, they're distracting you, take advantage, and you just, like, before they know what's happening, you've shaken yourself off them. You are now free.
Okay, I'm gonna fucking jog over here and hide behind Denver and Gideon.
I'm taking
out my arms so they help me.
The two Karasiri that were holding you are just, like, you know, a bit dazed by what's happened. So they won't do anything this turn, but they will next turn. Flint is going to try and shoot at one of the bats. He's going to shoot at one of the ones that was holding you. No, he needs to reload. He shot twice. He needs to reload. Flint's going to reload his gun this turn. He's going to reload Loretta. Denver.
I want to go over and try and shove this gold back in the wall.
Okay, you do have to wade through the pool of filth. I believe I need you to make me a roll for that. Just bear with me one moment.
I'm sure I've worked for worse.
Pool of filth.
I'm not sure you have, buddy.
I have to believe that I've walked through worse. It makes things a little bit easier to get through.
I'm gonna ask for a constitution roll because this thing stinks. I'll ask for another con roll, please.
That's a success.
You manage to, like, you know, hold your nose as you enter the pool carrying this gold bar, and you feel something slithering around your leg. You don't want to know what's down there that might be slithering around your leg.
You never do. So long as it ain't that thing which goes up the mahaha. I'm quite happy. Just let me get over to that wall and shove this damn thing in.
Can you make me a strength roll? And I'm going to have to ask for a hard success.
Darn.
You can see like...
How much would I need to get out down to a hard success?
I think it would have to be done with a 45. Yeah, so
you would need to spend 32 luck. I don't think it's worth that.
I have 58 luck at the moment.
That sounds super worth it.
Is it?
Up to you.
We see. Go for it. Sorry. I'm going to spend it. So, I need... How much was it? Sorry, 30 luck?
32.
32
luck.
32.
You can't take it with you.
You doing
I'll
it?
Spend 32. Yep. Gonna do that.
Taking you step into... Too. And this stuff is, like, waist high on you. In fact, I'm going to bring the... I'm going to bring the artwork back for it.
You have to.
The artwork back. So this thing is like waist high on you, but you manage to reach, and you can reach to where the break in the ward is. And this thing is still heavy, don't forget. This is like, weighs quite a lot. You manage to like push it up, and you can see like where it fits into the wall, but you do have to like kind of like hammer it in. But with much grunting effort and a lot of luck, you do manage to get it into place.
Yeah.
And
oh bloody hell, still there.
With that, as you do that, I don't know if you're expecting like some sort of like beam of light to shine around the thing, the whole like band, but it doesn't happen. But you immediately feel that something's changed. That the hairs on the back of your neck start to raise, and you see that where the fat is dripping down the wall, when it hits the bar, it hisses and boils away. All of you struggling with a Karasiri at the moment, you look at them, and they're just like staggering backwards, heads in their hands, as they start to turn to dust. Yeah. If you were to imagine the popular 1920s silent movie Avengers Endgame, or even Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, where they'd like turn into dust and blow away because this power of this ward has been reformed.
Popular 1920s.
I'm popular so 1920s close to silent movie. Order. Can I please get a picture? Please.
You can. I'll allow you to get a picture of this.
Thank you. Can I roll photography for it, just to say that I used it?
Make the roll for photography, just to say that you used it.
You end up with one of those Bigfoot photos. Oh, wow. No one's going to believe it.
And the best, you know, and that, the best,
your
the best part.
Your son was covering the land.
You know,
the best part.
You know that one damage I did? That was with my camera.
Yeah. And the best part is you can't push that or use luck on it. That is a failure. Failure is a failure. Denver,
what?
As you do so, there's something important, a couple of important things we haven't done yet. First of all, because you took a bout of madness, went insane, took a bout of madness, you get +5 to your Cthulhu Mythos skill.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh. There is a downside, however. Can you roll me a d10?
One second here, and... 10. 6.
For the next 6 hours, you still feel the effect of whatever happened. It's like they're on your mind. You're still sane, you're still in control of yourself, but you feel like you're teetering on the edge. And as you look back up the corridor to your friends, beyond your friends, you see someone you shouldn't see. Someone it's impossible to see. He's wearing clothes very much like yours. He's wearing a hat very much like yours. Even though it's impossible for him to be there, you recognize him instantly. It's Orlando Jones.
Huh? What? No.
And he looks at you, and he shakes his head. And you get the feeling he's disappointed.
No, no, no. No, he did the right thing. No. No, not it.
You look up again, and he's gone.
No. That's... We did it. But we're not supposed to do that.
As the dust literally settles, the ruins grow silent. You see, like, the creatures that were swimming in a pool of fat dissipate and dissolve. How is everybody feeling?
Well, I think I dislocated my shoulder, so... Not great.
Sure.
Let's see. A little distraught and confused. I kind of want to take a look at that full gold ring. I know I'm probably not going to be able to figure anything out about it, but if I saw what I think I saw, and I think I saw what I saw, then I think I need to double check. Even if I don't know what I'm looking at.
Where's...
Okay. Nobody else has seen this, by the way. It's only you who saw it.
No, I get that.
The expedition leader. Where'd he go?
Who are we talking about, sorry? Oh, Larkin.
Yeah, Larkin.
You see him lying on the floor, dead, with a hole where the shot went through him. And you see that his skin has returned to, like, a normal colour.
Oh.
He almost looks like he's got a smile on his face, and as you see where his shirt has been, like, dishevelled from the blast, he seems to have some large tattoo across his chest. Some sort of circular tattoo that makes your skin cringe when you look at it.
Now that I'll take a photo of.
Jackson says, "Well, boys, I don't know about you, but I'm about ready to get out of here."
No. We can't go yet. We need to know what this is, what it does. Something about this ring. This gold. Look, when it comes down, I don't know much about the archaeology side of things, but this is one of the greatest finds which has ever been found. At least as far as I'm getting out, because I've never heard of a damn thing like this before. We have to at least try to take some note of it. As I said before, this is one of the greatest archaeological finds that'll ever be found.
Perhaps something should stay buried. We saw what happened before to those to the last people who tried to take a piece.
Aye, and it's not about taking a piece. But if we can take some wisdom in case something like this happens again. The fact of the matter, when it comes down... Please. Oh?
We could take photos.
Aye, taking photos and taking a good look at things.
Excuse me one moment.
Now, Faust, before you get overexcited, let me have a look at your arm. I see that you're holding it awkwardly.
Please, yes, thank you.
I think I can do first aid to give you 1d3 back.
That would be plenty.
Yeah, I'll roll first aid. That is a hard success. Yeah, I'm just checking. I'm pretty sure you get 1d3 back.
You apologize for that.
No, actually, it's only one. It would be 1d3 if we'd like to step down and I use medicine.
Yeah, first aid is only 1 point. It'd be medicine, that'd be 1d3, and it would take a longer time. I think that's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Medicine takes at least an hour, so I can do that like later. But for now, you get one hit point back with first aid.
Very welcome.
And Jackson says, well, at the very least, gentlemen, we should get something out of this trip. Maybe get some of that treasure from the room where the Karasiri were sleeping.
Now, that's an idea.
That is a better idea. Nice. You said last time, when it comes down to it, it would be useful for the sake of resources. But I still think we should be taking a look at this band. As well as that, there's a crack in the roof of this damn thing. If it's trying to hold something in, we might need to look into at least patching that crack.
I will say that you don't need to roll for this, but I can say that, Gideon, you can spend some time taking pictures of the gold band, making, you know,
definitely
making, yeah, full, like, you know, focus on the carvings on it. Be of historical interest.
I have ideas for what I'm going to be doing with these photos during the time skip.
Can I try and do an anthropology roll to see if I can glean anything about who built this?
Of course. Of course.
I don't have much. this is a hope. No. Not even close.
Not really, beyond what you've been told already, that this was built, according to the legend that Neira told you, this was built to house a god and keep it imprisoned. And from what you've seen, may not be too far from the truth.
Well, obviously, Dr. Bauer doesn't believe in anything silly like gods, but...
oh, no.
You know, maybe some local virus illness that affects people strangely, makes them see things.
What?
You want to think, you say, you... All right, you think that that's a virus in there? I've never seen a virus with that kind of consistency. I've never seen a virus that you can see with your plain eye.
Ghost? Spirit?
Well, if you're going to make such claims, could you at least go up the top and take a look into that crack and take a look down and see what you see? Because that shook me up, and I don't think that is anything that we've come across before. Well, so you're saying that you think that those things that have been attacking us, that have been sapping the fat out of everyone, you thought that was a virus?
It was just a suggestion, essentially. I'm not in a position to make any...
I'm not one of the most educated sites, but... Yeah.
There is a perfectly reasonable explanation for this. You just have to figure out what it is.
I look forward to listening to your findings when you get there.
I'm happy to say that you spend the next few hours photographing the place, documenting the place, not just the gold band, the entire ruins, taking whatever you can carry from the treasure room.
Can we do anything about that crack of the roof?
Not really, but the air of menace, the atmosphere of evil that you may have felt, you don't feel it anymore. Whatever it is, it seems to be contained. It seems to have been contained.
Can I? The Tarasiri, they dissolved into dust.
Yes. Yes.
Can I, like, collect some of it in, I don't know, like a little cigarette case or something, and also take, you know, like a little bottle of the, what was it called? The filth pool, something like that. Just so I can have a look at it later under a microscope.
Of course.
I imagine I probably have one with me, because it can help you diagnose, like, is this a virus or a bacteria, therefore I need to give you antibiotics over. So I imagine I might have something like that.
Well, I think that'd probably be best back when you're back somewhere a bit more, a bit friendlier.
Okay.
So.
I have only one last concern to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, we admit, we all agree, but this place is dangerous, especially if it comes across any... tomb raiders who wish to try and steal the gold around the damn thing, which triggers off whatever enough that is. How do we stop people from doing that again? People coming back here.
Keeping it secret?
Keeping secrets only didn't do so far. This is our open dig site. It's kind of obvious.
Well, the locals don't come near this place. They're superstitious about it. And I think we can see why.
No.
But
I don't know whether maybe there's a case we could try and convince some
there was the tunnel we came. There's a tunnel we came down to get here through that filth pit, and there's the chimney tunnel. We could try blocking them up.
I like that idea. It's at least something. Well, let's just take a look around and see what we can find to do so. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to leave anything to chance.
It'd be very easy to find lots of rubble down here and lots of rubble on the surface as well to actually block these things up. You can say you spend like the next at least half a day doing that, making sure the site's secure. Right. Now that you've got no time pressure, it's easy to make sure you do a thorough job of things.
Right. Okay. Now, someone made a mention of a drink. I think it's about time we go for that.
Make your way back to Puno. Again, it's a 3-day journey back to Puno. When you arrive at Puno, the place is in a bit of an uproar. I'm going to move us back to the Peru route map, actually, because it seems appropriate. The place is in a bit of an uproar. When you get there, there's like wild tales, people running around shouting these wild tales, wild rumors. And from the sound of it, people just seem to a number of people just seem to dissolve, turn to dust. As if they'd been burnt to ashes. Somewhat more somberly, you learn that the day after you left Puno, Neira's body was found in her house on the island. She was found by her son. She had a big wound in her chest to be drained of fat. But from what her son, from what you hear, she seemed to have a wry smile on her face, as if she knew something her attacker didn't.
At least we avenged her.
Aye. You got to die in peace. More than a lot of us can ask for.
The trucks that the trucks never got here. You would have to take the train back down the coast and the boat back to Lima if you want to return to Lima that way.
Hey. I think that's not a bad idea. What about the rest of you? Is there anything you want to do around here?
Jackson says, I think we better get back to Lima. There's nothing more we can do here. I think we better leave them to their grief right now.
I think I'm liable to agree with you there. We've all been through quite a lot. I think we all need our time.
You journey on the train down to the coast, down to Mahendo. You get the steamer, same steamer that you got on the way here, same crew. And you journey the couple of days up the coast. And Jackson says, well, gentlemen, I don't know about you, but as soon as we get back to Lima, I'm getting the boat straight to New York. Then I'm going to find a bar and then I'm going to try and make sense of all of this for my book. Oh, does anybody have the Confessions of Gaspar Figueroa? I think I might be able to use that as resource material. I think it was Flint who had it, so Flint would give him the book. And I think I might check in on Dr. Sanchez as well at the museum, just to make sure he's okay. He'd want to know. Maybe he can give me some useful information.
I think he's still alive.
That is true, yeah, but we can hope.
Probably what about the rest of you?
What about the rest of you? What are you?
That's how we can preserve the place. He cares about the archaeology, but not about taking the thing apart. It's there for its history. Perhaps he could do something to try and keep it protected.
That's a good idea. I'll talk to him about that first thing when we get back to Lima. Mm-hmm. What about the rest of you? Where do your travels take you from here? Are you sticking around the place?
I think I'm going to return to England, back to London, get these photos developed properly, get them published. This is going to take the world by storm, this tale.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all that to process. I wasn't quite expecting this story. I thought it'd be a lot quieter. I think I'd probably take a day or two at least to have a drink and decompress and see where I go after that.
I suppose I'll stop by the Miskatonic before I head back to Germany. I need to catch up with an old friend.
And you, Mr. Sullivan? Where do your travels take you?
Back to Canada. I have a friend to speak with.
Denver, as you're journeying along the coast, you think about everything that happened, everything you saw. And although it's strange, although rationally you know this can't be the case, you got the intense feeling that Orlando Jones was disappointed in you.
Aye. Just trying to figure out why. What did I do wrong?
Eventually, you arrive back to Lima. And probably getting towards early evening, and Jackson Elias, as you step off onto the pier, onto the jetty, Jackson says, "Well, gentlemen, this is where our paths must diverge. It's been great to meet all of you. It's been a real experience. And I'm happy to say I can count you among my good friends." With that, he puts on his hat, puts his pipe into his mouth.
Hold on. No. This seems a bit too quick and easy.
This was quick and easy?
No. This part. This part. No one just disappears after what we've been through. Unless they've either been through something very similar to it before, or they've got what they're after. Is there an insight or something like that I can do on the
psychology? You can do psychology.
But I have a feeling that I don't fully trust. I think that there might be something else there. God.
Do you want to spend it?
Yes, all right, I'll spend it. I'll make it a success.
Jackson
just
has
a six I need there?
Yeah, just need to reduce it by six. Jackson has his secrets. All men have their secrets, but having journeyed beside him, having fought beside him, you feel you can trust him.
Whatever. Just getting panicked.
Mr. Smith, he says to you, "Mr. Smith, I can tell you many things, but that is a story for another day, and I promise we will have that story." And you watch as he disappears. I'll get my things back on again. And you watch as he puts his hat, pipe in mouth, and he disappears into the streets of Lima. And as you watch him go, you feel that for all you've been through, the world is a better place for having Jackson Elias in it. And that is where you bring a close to the prologue chapter of Master and the Islet Hotep.
Wow.
I have something I'd quickly like to do.
Yep.
I think when we return back to America, we're making ready to travel to our next destinations. I think that Dr. Bauer would like grab Smith at some point and suggest, Mr. Smith, I hope that you do not take offense to this, but your behavior over the course of this expedition was very interesting to me. Would you be willing to submit to some brief psychoanalytical test?
What would be the purpose of these tests?
Just to evaluate, whether there is any sort of, they didn't have the concept of trauma yet.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, just to see if we can evaluate possibly some of the... I'm sorry, my cat is running around meowing a lot. to evaluate if we can see any reasons for your somewhat, I hope, again, no offense or judgment made meant by this, but your slightly erratic behavior.
Well, I see. Well, I suppose it did go a little bit on the mad side of things, and I don't exactly know what came over me. All right. I'll accept your little psychology test. I have an appreciation of the art. I have no idea how exactly it works, though.
Well, if I can make a psychoanalysis roll like once a month, and if I succeed, then you get 1d3 sanity back.
Oh, yes.
And you are the one that he saw specifically sort of, I'll send six luck. You're the one that he saw specifically go a little bit nutty.
Yep, so you can get one, you roll a d3 and get that many sanity back. For Denver.
Hold on. What do you have to type again? It's rolls slash.
Slash roll 1d.
Slash roll space.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And d3. Okay. Two.
It's not nothing.
And I just add on to the sanity, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Hey, where am I? So, as we're coming to the end of this chapter, we will do our investigative improvement stuff in a moment. But first, Dr. Bauer, would you spend time studying the samples of dust, of ash, and of fat you took from the pyramid?
Yeah. In Dr. Bauer's backstory, his significant person is currently a professor at the Miskatonic, and it was him who suggested that I come on this expedition in the first place. So I think I'm going to go chat to him and be like, what the fuck, man? and whilst I'm there, I'll steal their labs for a bit.
Okay. You you do run your tests. The ash, you know that to be skin. You know it was once part of a living being.
Mm-hmm.
It's centuries old.
Huh.
The fat, you have no idea.
God.
You can't identify it as human, as animal, as anything. It just is.
Hmm. Okay. Clearly my equipment isn't good enough.
So, with that, rewards. We'll start with the sanity rewards. For killing Augustus Larkin, everybody gets 1d4 sanity. That'll do for Robin's character as well.
I'm back up to my starting sanity.
Sorry, didn't mean to click that. Do that. Not quite back up to the original, but We're getting closer.
I'm only one below my max.
I am only four below my max.
You didn't specifically kill Mendoza, so you don't get that one. But for restoring the ward and defeating the Karasiri, plus 1d8 sanity.
Ooh.
Is this to recover or increase?
Increase.
Oh, are they both increase, are they?
So, you add it to your current sanity, and then whatever it is, it can go over what you've set as your max, because that works a bit weird, but add your current sanity.
Okay. Yeah.
63.
This is because I don't like how Roll20 does the sanity in this game, but it's something you have to work with a bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Yeah, so I agree. We're adding to the sanity which went down.
Yes.
So it can go above what you had.
Yes.
Okay.
I was about to say that the reason why you have the sanity you start with is because if you lose a fifth of your starting sanity for a day, you go indefinitely insane. And the way that counts is the right hand side is basically the sanity you start with a day. Kieran, I believe you're about to talk about maximum sanity.
Yeah, your character's maximum sanity has nothing to do with their power score, which gives you your starting sanity. Your maximum sanity is 99 minus the number of Cthulhu Mythos points that you have.
Makes sense, I suppose, the more you know about the Cthulhu.
Yep, that's what I love about it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Didn't cause Nero's death. I'm going to count that as not causing Nero's death because it happened after you left. You didn't release the Father of Maggots because that would have cost you 1d20 sanity points. So now we move to skill improvements. So any skills that have the little tick mark next to them, make the roll for them, and if you fail any of the rolls, you get to add 1d10 to that skill. So you're rolling these skills that you've ticked and you want to fail them.
Oh, that was bad then. Okay.
Yay! What do I add to dodge?
That'd be 1d10.
1d10.
Alright. No additions there for me.
I'm not seeing any with a check next to them.
You might not have succeeded any. You must have done. Do you not succeed at him? Dodge.
Picked them, right?
I think I've only got spot hidden in chemistry, do you know?
Yep. Then you untick them. And Flint just got a failure of 68 over 67 on his dodge.
Yeah, I got 59 over 57 for my psychology. And then I rolled a 2 to bring me up to 59.
Any others for Flinch while I'm here? Oh, rifle.
Yeah.
Of course he wins that one.
Oh, wow. Oh, Gideon, you have really good chemistry.
Yeah.
What kind of success did we need to get the tick?
When you're rolling it, you have to succeed without using luck to get the tick.
For instance, now, sorry, done a brawl which I hadn't ticked off.
Yes, you would have got. You would have. I'm sure if you. It's why it's important to tick it off as soon as you succeed, so because you're not going to remember otherwise.
It's one of those bits of trying to remember sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've got the brawl there, so okay, let's try the brawl.
Yeah. The upshot of this is that the better you are at something, the harder it is to improve it, which is kind of what you'd expect, really.
I've increased my dodge and my spot hidden, which are both very important skills to have.
There's two of the notes.
And we also get to do the same for our luck. So everybody can roll your luck, and if you fail the luck roll, add 1d10 to it.
Aww.
I love the fact with this whole thing of trying to get the failures, I got two extreme successes.
I succeeded!
It's always the way.
I can increase the luck.
I think you have the worst luck.
Probably no.
Well, you get to add 1d10 to it, Tim.
1d10, okay.
So roll a d10 and add it to your luck.
Not click the button. Fill the button. There we go. Yeah, my luck's running out.
So, do any of you have any questions about the story that I might be able to answer without giving away too much of what's to come? But do any of you have any questions about what happened over the what happened in the story?
Is there was there any way to kill the Karasiri without just awkwardly laying a gold bar on top of them? Like, was that something we could discover? Oh, really? Oh, excellent! I'm so glad.
The way to kill the Karasiri is to. For a moment, while I just get the thingies up.
We're allowed to know this, right?
You are allowed to know this. Yeah, I'm happy to answer this. Anything I'm happy to answer, you're allowed to know.
Yep. Karasiri now that these aren't an enemy we have to worry about anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Karasiri can be killed only by complete dismemberment or by burning.
Oh, burn them. Okay. Cool.
Come on, keep them coming. Don't hold back. If you have any questions, don't hold back.
Oh God.
What would have happened if we'd just stayed with Larkin and just completely gone along and gone on the trucks with him?
Actually, this brings up a point that I was going to say. The path that we took through this story is fantastic. You did all the main things. You did everything right. You succeeded. There's one branch you didn't take, however. You didn't follow up on the hotels. Do you remember when I said, when Jackson asked you right at the start, why is Larkin in one hotel and we're in another hotel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yes. The introduction to the whole campaign was a little vignette of us breaking into his room, and we never did it. That was a completely anachronistic trailer shot that was edited out of the final production.
Okay, but the point of that was there are some things in the hotel rooms you could have found. You obviously didn't, and they're not critical to the story in the slightest. They're just like extra things. So if you'd followed up, like, say, after the attack in the museum on Trinidad Rizzo in the museum, one possibility is you go to confront Larkin there and then. You obviously think that, you know, Larkin doesn't know that, either Larkin doesn't know or Larkin's involved with it somehow. You could have forced a confrontation with Larkin there and gotten him to show his superpowered evil side there, which would have saved you the confrontation in the pyramid. Also, Louis Mendoza would have had an interesting artifact in his room as well. He had an artifact called the Golden Mirror. I'll show you this, even though you didn't get it. I will show you this when I can find it.
I'm so glad that some maid cleaned his room after this adventure and now has a magic artifact.
So this is the Golden Mirror, which was held in, which Mendoza had in his room. And if you'd gone to the rooms, you'd have seen that Mendoza's room would never been slept in. But this would have given you some visions of possible, like, events to come.
Oh, very cool.
And in extreme circumstances, you may have been able to contact one of the gods.
Whoa. Well, I could have been either brilliant or terrible.
Definitely terrible. Super glad we didn't find that.
I do have another question as well.
Of course.
You said when we came out that the convoy of the trucks, they weren't there. How did they get there?
That's a good question. How did they get there?
I was about to say, oh my God, don't tell me they've got another supernatural thing or this has happened that we didn't realize about.
Well, what happened in the fight? You talk about supernatural things, what happened in the fight?
Quite a few things when I came down to it. It was magic and all that manner of things. That was kind of what I was wondering about. Was there something supernatural which actually gave them a extra speed and stuff like that?
Something like that.
They get on us very quickly. We placed days between us. The real question is, how long before they realized and decided just to forgo the ship and just come straight after us?
So the timeline was, day one, you meet with the group in Jackson Lies, and Larkin tells you that the convoy is coming to take you on the Monday. That's on the Friday. Saturday, you went to the museum, you saw the attack, You decided there and then you weren't going to wait for the trucks. You were going to go the next day on the Sunday. Larkin was in bed this whole time because he had come down with something on the feeling weak after the Friday evening. So he would have been in bed the whole time, which is why you could have confronted him if you'd gone to his hotel room.
Oh.
When it came to Monday, Larkin and Mendoza, they waited for you, but you obviously didn't show. Larkin and Mendoza then decided they guessed that you'd be trying to get to Puno first, and they were going to wait for word from Puno that you'd arrived. That was all the people you saw in Puno who were looking at you, strangely.
Aye.
They sent a telegram back to Larkin and Mendoza to say these people are here. And then by whatever means, they managed to get to the pyramid at the same time as you did.
By whatever means, you say. Okay.
Concerning Larkin himself, give you a bit of backstory about him. He was born in Kenya to he was a bit of a playboy in his youth, or even quite recently, he was a playboy, like travelling around, more money than sense, not enough to do, that sort of thing. He was travelling through Africa, through Kenya, and he fell in with a cult in Kenya. And they marked him, the tattoo you saw, they marked him as a vessel to be possessed by some malevolent entity. And the malevolent entity directed him to return to Lima to release... The idea was he was going to destroy the ward, to remove the complete ward himself. However, he found he couldn't do it. He couldn't touch it. It wouldn't have burnt him in the same way as the Karasiri, but it would have... he could not have done anything with it. So the next thing was, he tried to recruit the Karasiri to do it, and the Karasiri, before he came, they were feral. That one who attacks you on the night time, that's how they all were. But when Larkin came into contact with some of them, they gained some intelligence through the entity that was possessing him. But even they couldn't take the ward away. Next, Larkin decided, I'm going to try and recruit some of the locals to do it. But the locals wouldn't go near the place. Which is then he hit upon the idea of, I'm going to organize an expedition to the pyramids for people who just want money and fame, which is where you came in.
So why was it right at the end that he then decided he didn't need us?
He could find more people. He could always find more people.
I suppose.
There are always more people who want to get rich quick.
So in that case, and obviously for the sake of the element of taking down the Lord of the Slugs, or whoever that was. How is that one supposed to start attacking us, or how are we supposed to attack it, considering that it's bound in by the gold?
What, the big thing inside the pyramid?
Aye.
You're not. If that thing gets out, something's gone horribly wrong.
Well, thank God for that side of things. So it didn't really matter too much if we actually put that binding back in then. Shy of, obviously, these things still being alive.
Well, if we'd failed, they'd have just found someone else to unbind it, and then that would have been a first aid.
Oh, no, I get that side of things. What I mean is, if we eliminated everyone in that room but didn't put the binding back, or say, held on to the gold bar, the thing would have still been stuck in there, but they would have had to try and find someone else to do the next bit.
Well, the thing was, Larkin's body was frail. The entity couldn't protect him from a mortal wound. The Karasiri regenerate.
Aye, but they're taken down and properly killed.
Would you have been able to do it in time, though? There were four of them.
It's a different matter entirely.
Mm-hmm. That was the way I scripted that was to be a fight that was only really winnable by repairing the ward.
That's
the thing about Call of Cthulhu fights. A lot of fights are not there to be won. They're there to be worked around or there to be avoided. Yeah.
Either puzzle.
Yep.
Any
further information? Not really that I can think of. Louis Mendoza was one of the original conquistadors. Yep, sorry.
Yep, I hear that. How could we have saved the life of the lady on the lake by just never visiting her?
I think it just comes down to That just really comes down to luck on dice rolls to see if you spot the, you spot the Karasiri watching her. If they spot you, they see her coming out. A lot of it can be just for the dramatic effect. Yeah. So that's really just like, you know, that's really just like a drama beat.
I suppose the only other question I've got is, how did these Karasiri multiply? Are they like, for the sake of kind of that, that entire area was invested effectively with them, and obviously there was a great sadness when they left, but that means that they're indoctrinated in that entire thing, so are they been turned, or...?
So... the life cycle of a Karasiri is down to the larva. Do you remember back in the museum when Dr. Sanchez, Professor Sanchez, had that slug put implanted in him?
Yeah.
We have to get it out fast.
Yeah.
If that stays in for an hour, it gets harder and harder to take out. And after 24 hours, the host becomes a Karasiri.
Right.
The original Karasiri were all the conquistadors in the 16th century, and they became infected basically because they broke the ward, and the whatever was inside the thing inside the pyramid sent out the larva after them to infect them.
Then,
after Larkin met some of them and they gained intelligence, they started infecting more and more people, especially around Puno. So people would see their loved ones like change personality, but not know why. Which is why
That's why that one was labeled as feral, because it hadn't regained its senses yet. It wasn't smart. It was just an animal.
Mm-hmm. Aye. Fair enough.
Very cool. Very well done.
And so, with that, let's go around the table asking for some stars and wishes, because this isn't over just yet. This chapter may be over, but the campaign isn't over just yet. So let's go around and do some stars and wishes. I'm going to start with Kieran. What did you like? What would you like to see more of?
Ooh, okay. I always think combat in Call of Cthulhu is quite funny. So I do enjoy watching other people try and shoot things. but also, it's always good to have someone there at the end to clean up the damage. And also, as you said, you know, combat as a puzzle. I think that's very good. For a wish, I don't know. I don't think I have any. Maybe a little bit more role play between the characters, but you know, that kind of comes and goes as it becomes more or less relevant.
That is something I've still got to work on, to be honest. Like, you know, allowing you guys more time to role play. I think you guys probably do the most roleplay out of my games. I know my horror people do some, and the Brynwood Bay people do some, but it's something I do need to allow, because I'm always looking at the clock, and I shouldn't be.
This session was very hectic.
I don't think there was going to be that much chance for roleplay in this and Shire after it was done.
Roleplay would have been, shoot them, or, seal the thing.
And don't get me wrong, I did love that whole bit of actually seeing Orlando. It's like,
very, very good.
Was that, sorry to jump a gun there, but that's definitely one of my stars. It's like, oh, wow, that hit. I wasn't expecting that.
I've been waiting for that ever since you gave me your backstory and your. I've been waiting for that, and this is the best opportunity.
Is Orlando his significant person?
Yes.
My favorite part is it's not just it's my significant person; it's a fictional person who I admire. But
oh boy.
It's literally one of those bits of the moment I saw that, it's like, oh no. Because this would have been vivid in his mind, a character which he's only seen in his head or on drawn pictures come to life and just showing that disappointment. I say, I literally, in character, could not think of anything to say but no. No.
I didn't enjoy that. Brian, what was your stars in which...
My star shooting what's his name and taking him out.
Oh yes.
But he did take a piece out of me, but
it's always a good feeling. Yep.
Yeah, my wish I'm not sure. Maybe just more roleplay between the characters.
As I say, it's something I do need to work on myself to allow that to happen. Ben, did you give a wish, or do you want to get? Do you want to give a wish?
I haven't done a wish. Well, when it comes down to, obviously, the roleplay is one thing, but I'll go for a different one rather than just beat the dead horse. I think when it came down to it, I want to see more of that little psychological twist coming into it, because we've had a dash of it, but I want to see more sort of thrown in and really sort of twisting things up. Because that got very interesting, as I say, straight after that, with thinking and trying to figure out, no, I've done something wrong, what have I done wrong, mm-hmm. Manuel? And I want other people to kind of get that little experience as well and see how they take it.
I'm definitely going to flesh out my backstory more in time for the sort of in the time script, and make sure to flesh out what my character's been up to during the time script, so I can start, you know, twisting the knife in me.
Well, that depends. For me, that depends on you all, like, you know, starting to, like, you know, fail your sanity rolls. And I always say, Call of Cthulhu, to enjoy it properly, you've got to, like, embrace the insanity, and, like, not be afraid of losing sanity, because that's when it really gets interesting, as we saw tonight.
Well, that's when it gets interesting. That's the thing when it came down to, for the sake of being the most seen so far throughout the entire group, to then get the whole point of, no, my sanity's going here. I finally found that thing in this bit, which has really sort of flipped my switch. But this isn't something I recognize. This isn't something I can justify like when I was in the wars. This is something very different and something outside of my scope.
Which, to be fair, is exactly what Call of Cthulhu is about.
Because there was one thing which I was kind of getting afraid of, is that for the sake of having a high sanity, that, oh no, this is now going to get to that whole point where it just goes through without any issues.
Yeah.
Which is boring in a game like this.
You have no idea how happy I was when I saw that Larkin had access to the Mind Blast spell. And do you want to know another number? Remember when I asked you for a power roll, Ben?
Yeah.
Larkin had 500 power. Which means he can only roll extreme successes, and he can only fail on a 100.
Wow. Okay, fair enough.
I was just going to use shriveling, but I think I thought that was much more interesting, and I think it came out much more interesting.
Oh god, yeah.
Patrick, turn to you.
What I most enjoyed was just generally being really inept in battle. Yeah, that was really fun, honestly. I'm definitely looking forward to, as a nice sort of objective, I'm looking forward to being able to make use of my social skills more. Can I get a hint as to, will we be in an English-speaking setting after the time skip? So, because if not, then during the time skip, I'd like to be learning a language, maybe. Because I've got a lot of points of charm. Mm-hmm.
I will say that the next chapter is in New York.
Hey!
I'm fine, I'm happy, I'm delighted.
No, you've got no chance.
Exactly why I'm going to New York as well.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid you've got no chance. They don't speak English there.
So, that is all to look forward to. My own personal starting wishes, as I say, I loved the moment where Ben, just like Ben's reaction to Orlando Jones, it was better than I could have hoped for, seriously. I loved the I've enjoyed this conversation, showing you all a little glimpse behind the curtain of what's going on. I think that's an important part as well, because during the game you don't really have a clue, might not have much clue what's going on, but it's always fun afterwards, ask the questions, find out what's going on, find out what was really happening, and you get some really interesting stuff coming out there. Wishes, well, we'll find out. So I guess we'll see what happens when we return. For now, the journey is, for now, this chapter of the story is over, but the journey will continue.
And that's how, for now.
You have been listening to Masks of Nyarlathotep, a Final Boss Fight audio podcast with Ben the Questgiver as Denver Smith, Kieran as Dr. Reinhardt Bauer, Brian Croy Dragon as Tim Sullivan, Robin as Flint Locke, and Patrick as Gideon Faust. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review. This episode was originally broadcast on Twitch at twitch.tv/Final Boss Fight Live. We stream this and other games and campaigns every month, with video replays on YouTube and an active Discord community. For further details, visit our website, finalbossfights.co.uk. Until next time, take up your sword and let's take this final boss down together.